Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you here, having some fun, getting you ready for another football week as we begin to turn the page and close the chapter on week 3 of the NFL season. And it lived up to the hype, 38-30. Lions take down the Ravens on the road. Oh boy, we'll get into that and the implications there and what it means next week when the Ravens and Chiefs square off. Having some fun with that, we will start to look ahead to the college football weekend, another mountain of injuries to navigate through in the NFL, some positive injury news when it comes to K-State football. Yesterday, perhaps. It's all coming up for you. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the pepperoni pizza, topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pepperoni, now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. This is, I'm really playing with fire here with the home setup. Yesterday, I was up at like 6 a.m. making sure everything was good to go. Today, it was the roll out of bed at 6:45. See what we can do. We got here on time, so I'm pushing the limits a little bit. We know what we can do.
It's early in the morning. You'll get used to it. It's a rainy morning. Makes it a little more difficult to get out of bed. There's no doubt about it. It just is the summer of rain. I guess it's the fall of rain now, as we switch to fall officially yesterday, but it's just not going to stop. And I'm beginning to be a little concerned about what that means for our winter. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. If this continues and it turns into snow or whatever, it's going to be a long one. I'm not looking forward to that, but we'll enjoy the rain. Kind of hard to complain about rain as long as we're not being flooded.
Let me tell you, yesterday I got my out here with me doing some homeowner chores that I've been telling you about at work. So we got some fertilizer out on the lawn, some spray on, got watered in with the rain last night, army worms killer. I'm learning a whole lot of random crap. So, but most importantly, down here in the basement where I got this set up, the 85-inch TV is on the wall.
Good job. Good job. For those who don't know, TJ, young Mr. Cleland, has just become a homeowner for the first time. So he is getting to experience a lot of these things like the rest of us, like what an army worm is. And that you're correct. Getting the fertilizer timed out right, that's a guy win. Like that's a win for all of us. That's a good yard win. That's good stuff. That's good. That's good lawn care there. You sit back and then you go just look at your yard. You just kind of walk outside and just kind of look at it for a few minutes. Just look around. No big deal. Walk back in. What are you looking at? Nothing. Don't worry about it.
I was never going to be that guy. I made fun of all my friends for talking about their lawns in public and said, "You guys are such dads. You're weirdos." Now it's like, well, I got some imperfections. We got a target.
You put a little time into it and your outlook changes. So we're making our way through it here. We'll get to Lions, Ravens. The Lions just did a bird's eye, make a huge statement in the NFL last night, 38-30. A potential Super Bowl preview. This was my Super Bowl prediction, these two teams. The weather was right, but boy, did the Lions, they set themselves up now after that week one dud. To be able to go on the road and do that is pretty significant. The defense sacks Lamar Jackson, who has absolutely owned the NFC over his career. They sack him 7 times. They run the ball all over them. 34 carries from the running backs for more than 200 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. They did exactly what they wanted to do on the road last night in Baltimore. Couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch, definitely. That's one of the biggest things that I kept thinking about during this game, which I'm sure that we'll get into more when we have more time after this first segment, is, what does that mean about the Packers? What does that mean about that week one game if the Lions are this good? Does this mean the Packers are that much better? Did that mean that's how bad Jared Goff is playing, on the road outside, which he did last night? So I really don't know what to make of it all. All truth be told, except for the fact that, played really well last night, and that Lions team looked really, really good.
You don't have to make anything of it. The Packers that beat them went and lost to the Browns. I still think the Ravens are one of the best teams in football. It's the NFL. It's weird. It's crazy. It's wacky. Strange things happen. And what we see in week three is going to mean very little as far as, it'll mean something and maybe seeding and those kinds of things. But as far as like what you see from teams in week three, it doesn't really matter for what you're going to see later. It's the NFL. Look at the injuries across the league. I mean, you're feeling great. Everything's going smooth. And then boom, you're missing a star player and everything gets turned upside down. It's happening everywhere. And the Cowboys lose a starting lineman. They lose CeeDee Lamb. They got no shot. Not that they did before anyway. The 49ers lose another star player in Bosa yesterday for the season. We saw James Conner carted off over the weekend for Arizona. They feel like they've got a shot. That's one of their best players. We saw Najee Harris and another lineman go down for the Chargers, who are trying to make their case as one of the best. Like it is truly a week to week league. Can you stay healthy? Do you have a great quarterback? And talk to me at the end of the season. I don't want to downplay the fact that was an amazing game last night between two awesome teams who have been healthy thus far this year. But it's like when we're trying to take big takeaways from this stuff, it's like, what are you going to take away? Now we saw that game. If these two teams met in the Super Bowl again, you don't think the Ravens could beat the Lions? Of course they could. So what does it mean? I don't know what it means. It means we got to watch a great football game last night.
I mean, it literally turned into, the fact of the saying of whoever has the ball last might win this game. And I mean, it kind of turned into that. It was a 14-point game that quickly turned into a one-possession game, and then an onside kick had 30 seconds to go do something else. Like, it literally was whoever had the ball last won the game, and it turned into that.
So it's
that,
the that's NFL.
That's how high octane the offenses are last night. And like you said, just a statement from the Lions, and obviously everybody knows that the Ravens are good.
Well, we can take things from it, and there will be consequences potentially to the loss as far as standings. I don't know that there are consequences to how good these teams are, but Baltimore's 1-2. That's hard to ignore. So are the Chiefs. That means somebody next week, and that's where we'll go next, is going to be 1-3, to Rick's point, as he points out via YouTube. By the way, you can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, X, 12 News Connected, as well as listen to us here on KFH. We appreciate all of it. But that's where we'll go next. Words out of our mouths. Does it make the Ravens not a Super Bowl contender based on ability, what we saw yesterday? No. Does it create the possibility that they could start the season 1-3? You better believe it does. And it does for their opponent next week, the Kansas City Chiefs, too. Something's got to give there. And that, my friends, is wild stuff. All right. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up this morning. We'll come back. That's where we head next. We begin to look at that Chiefs-Ravens game. Desperation time? Yeah, maybe. I don't think that's unfair. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily. Jake Bobrock, TJ Cleland with you on a Tuesday. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Of course, you will see that game on 12 News as well this weekend. TJ, you'll be there, yes?
Yes.
TJ will be there at Arrowhead on Sunday. He and I will have, and Rachel will have Sports Sunday. No, it's just you and I on Sports Sunday this weekend after the game. So we'll have you all covered from this one this weekend. Looking forward to it. Headline game, certainly didn't expect to. 1-2 teams walking into it. It'll take us probably the week to get fully wrapped around this game. There will be injury reports that we watch, but the thing that now jumps out and screams at us, TJ, as the Ravens lose 38-30 to the Lions last night, is that one of these teams is going to 1-3. Now, I will say, if we're being fair, a lot of people thought that the Chiefs might be going to 1-3 at this point of their season, right? The schedule and the way that it played out, the injuries, the suspensions, all of these things. But boy, I don't think anybody thought the Ravens might be 1-3 at this point, a team that legitimately could be one of the best in the NFL. They blow it against the Bills. Then they blow it, not so much blow it against the Lions. That's unfair. The Lions just flat beat them. But they were right there, and it's been some Derrick Henry fumbles that have really cost them, something he typically doesn't do that's now a little bit contagious for him. That might be a good thing for Kansas City. Maybe he's a little more hesitant. Maybe they're a little more hesitant to give him the ball. And a team that we've seen give up some big time points thus far, both to Buffalo and Detroit. Maybe that gives you some hope as you're a Chiefs fan, as Kansas City comes in as home underdogs, 2.5 point dogs. The second of two times they've played at Arrowhead Stadium this year that they have been home underdogs, which is also pretty remarkable. This is what we're looking at this year.
I just have a stat on my TV that just pulled up. Derrick Henry in his career in the fourth quarter prior to 2025 has two fumbles in the fourth quarter. 2025, he's got two fumbles in the fourth quarter. So your point was immediately made there. I think the question begs about this now is, you know, who, I don't want to say panic, but who's got the more reason to react to this? You know, is it the Chiefs or is it the Ravens? And then your brain for the Chiefs goes, well, it's not the Chiefs team we're going to see in 4 weeks. I think that it's more justifiable to go 1-3 at this point than if you're the Ravens. But also, when you look at that Ravens schedule, like you said, this Chiefs schedule, I mean, if the Chiefs were going to go 1-3, like this was the path that it was going to look like. You were going to beat the Giants and you're going to play three really good teams. We didn't really know that the Chargers were going to be this good, but you're going to lose to three really good teams. You look at who they lost to, like you said, Bills, Lions, and it would be Chiefs. That'd be a 1-3. So I don't think there's any really room to panic either way, but as you said, you know, what this is going to mean for the playoff picture. Like, these are two teams that were, these are the only two teams that have gotten one seeds in the last 7 years. Is that right? I think so.
The Titans had a year that they got it.
And then after that, it was all Chiefs, Ravens, I think. So,
look, I think the answer is the Chiefs, just because the schedule is so difficult still. The Ravens will have this one. Then it's back-to-back home games. Texans don't look scary at all right now. The Rams are certainly very good, but at least you get it at home. Then they get a bye week. Then it's Chicago, Miami. We'll see if J.J. McCarthy is back by then for the Vikings. The Browns, they do go back-to-back-to-back road games, which almost never happens in the NFL. But they also have the Jets. They have the Bengals. They're, of course, in division without Joe Burrow. Two against the Bengals. They get the Patriots, the Steelers. We'll see if they can get things going under Aaron Rodgers. Their schedule is significantly easier than the Chiefs. And so their division is not nearly as good as the Chiefs. I think those are the things that would make me, if I'm a Ravens fan, not panic nearly as much as being a Chiefs fan, where, you know, just in the division, you've got to deal with the Chargers and the Broncos and maybe the Raiders. The fact that you have all of these difficult games you've got to play, you know, across the division, across the aisle, basically, and you just had a tougher draw on the schedule. So I think as far as like what team will will be able to recover from 1-3 more easily. I would say that would be the Ravens, just because of the schedule they play. I think both teams are good. I think the Ravens are a better team right now. I'm not that look, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, but they've got some things they've got to figure out too. I certainly baked in them playing better defense than they've played. There's no doubt about that. And if the Chiefs shred them up the way the Chiefs are playing on offense, they've got some real problems. You remember they did this last year. The Ravens did this same thing last year where they were just a nightmare defensively. It's why I couldn't get on board with them early in the season last year. Well, by the end of it, they figured it out and they became a good defense. I expected the good defense to sort of bleed through, but that is not what's happened. They have been really bad defensively, and that's been their problem. They were good enough offensively last night to win that game. There's no question about that.
Yeah. I'll ask the question of, you know, talking about this 1-3 start, a potential 1-3 start, you know, if you are the Kansas City Chiefs and you find yourselves 1-3 after this game, we played this on the, you know, overreaction Monday that they weren't 0-3. If they get to 1-3, you know, what does that do for you as a Chiefs fan going forward the rest of the way? You know, does that dig you a deeper hole in the AFC that is going to, you know, make you more worrisome as you go through the schedule? Does that raise the panic meter? You know, just kind of what would the thoughts be if you start the season 1-3?
For the Chiefs?
Yeah, Chiefs.
I kind of expected them to go 1-3.
I mean,
or 2-2 at best. I mean, that, you know, like, it doesn't change much for me because I've had this baked in for them since we learned about the Rice suspension. They do get Jacksonville, who finds ways to win, but then it's Detroit. Those are your six games without Rice. We've talked about it. 2-4 is very real for them to start the year. The problem for the Chiefs is the games that they have scheduled outside the division include Washington, Philadelphia, and Dallas. Dallas we'll see about if they're healthy by then. Then they, of course, get the first place teams as a part of their schedule. Then they get Indianapolis, unluckily, who looks very good right now as a part of that AFC South. Houston and Tennessee may be okay to play. There just are not a lot of games where you can just call it a win now, basically. And they're going to have to overcome that this year. Despite everything else that's happening, they're going to have to beat this schedule. And until they get healthy, I think we're all just kind of hanging on and seeing what happens. But look, the good news is they played Philadelphia probably closer than some thought they would. We'll see what they do against Baltimore. This is a good prove-it game for Kansas City coming back home. Chiefs fans should hate the fact that the Ravens let that go last night because now they're desperate too. Right now you have two desperate teams. I'd rather play the Ravens when they're kind of riding high and feeling good about themselves. They will have to continue to do a nice job against Derrick Henry, something they've been able to do in postseasons past. And, you know, and just kind of hope, I guess. I'm sure that they'll get Worthy back this week, but I just don't know until later in the year how confident we can ever be in the Chiefs right now. And their schedule is going to make it very difficult for them to navigate their way into what may be a wild card spot this year. And I think that they will do that, but it's not going to be easy. They're not. We said this all off season. This isn't going to be a 15-win team again this year. They're going to drop significantly in their win total. By the end of the year, though, they could be a better team offensively than they were last year in the postseason. But we haven't had a chance to see that yet, and we won't for three more weeks.
Yeah, you feel like we're going to get Xavier Worthy on Sunday. Does that make you feel more confident in this offense? Does that change significantly what they're going to do? Like, what is it going to be, a different looking offense? How much does that make a difference?
Just with Worthy?
Yes.
Probably not. Probably not. I think they're going to. He's a weapon. He's better than.
But it's him and Tyquan Thornton basically right now.
Well, so everyone and Joshua Briscoe yesterday, which you can go listen to on the Odyssey app if you'd like, or Chiefs Insider, Chiefs Radio Network, brought up that maybe I don't think Worthy is going to be a deep threat. Tyquan Thornton is very good at it. I think Worthy being there enhances Thornton's chances of single coverage, enhances his chances of getting open. I think Worthy slides in right now as just his own thing. Like he slides into that role that they've been missing, that Rashi Rice filled 2 years ago, that Worthy grew into last year, of just getting peppered with targets. I think they tried to do that with Hollywood Brown a little bit. Hasn't worked, you know, tremendously. Juju Smith-Schuster, again, glad he's on the team, has almost nothing after the catch. And that's one of the big differences. Can Worthy take a 6-yard pass and turn it into a 20-yard gain because he's fast and a great athlete? I think he can. I don't think singularly all of a sudden this is a 17-point offense that turns into a 27-point offense. But I do think by the time he's there, if he's able to play and they get Rice back and maybe Royals gives you anything and the running game continues, then I think we're cooking a little bit there. I will admit, I thought Travis Kelce would be better than he's been thus far. I think Father Time may be winning the fight. And I thought that Kelce in his newer body type, right, as more of a receiver, could be a little more. And they're being conservative with Travis Kelce. That's why he's arguing with Reed on the sidelines. I don't know how much better the offense is going to be. It'll be better. It'll be better. How much better? Will it be closer to the 30-point offense or the 20-point offense? Because we've seen the 20-point offense the last couple of years, the 30-point offense about the 3 years prior to that. I hope somewhere in between. But I think we have to be realistic with it. And right now they're making too many mistakes for that. How many points should they have scored against the Giants? We know against the Eagles they should have scored 10 more than they did. They should have scored at least 3 more than they did against the Giants.
I mean,
should they have scored?
I mean, how many times do they stall out in the red zone? Like 3 or 4?
That's my point. So, and I get you have to do it, and they've kind of struggled in the red zone in the past. I'm not downplaying that. But the Eagles should have been 10 more points. Kelce drops a touchdown, basically, and Butker misses a field goal. Are we having this conversation if they put up 30 against the Eagles?
Probably not.
If Butker makes a field goal and even one of those is 4 more points because they were able to turn it into a touchdown against the Giants. We're talking about an offense that scored 29 points, right? So it feels worse than it is, I think, in reality. It has felt worse. And it's not because it's pretend. It's not pretend. They're making the mistakes that are costing them. That is a thing that's happening, right? But the mistakes are what are costing them. I don't think it's been an ineffective offense this year. And so I think the offense will get players in there that will help it. The question becomes, will they stop making the mistakes that are killing themselves right now? The penalties, the drops, the missed field goals, all these little things that are killing them. Can they turn those things around? Because if they can, they probably are more like a 25-point offense a game. And the way their defense is playing, and with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, they're going to win a lot of games. So I think it feels worse than it is. Doesn't change the fact that their schedule is a death trap right now as they get the Ravens and the Lions in 2 of the next 3 weeks that they have to play. But we have to keep thinking big picture, big picture, big picture, big picture. But it doesn't matter how good they are, TJ, if they dig themselves too deep of a hole. And the Ravens are thinking the same thing right now, by the way.
True. I think it's just basically boils down to just that the Kansas City Chiefs are lucky that they have the defense that they have going through this schedule. I mean, like, it's insane looking at the schedule. Like, we keep talking about it, but it is actually like, this would be an awesome schedule to watch the 2022 Chiefs play, or you know, not the 20-point offense as of late, is what you're saying. It would be awesome to see them go nuclear through all these NFC opponents and first place opponents and everything of that nature. But yeah, the defense is going to help them a ton. It has to stay at that level that it's going to, or it's going to be a stretch to get you know, a 7 seed like we were talking about. So if you can hold teams under 20 points, I think you'll win a lot of these games. So they're going to have to show up biggest. So you can say whatever you want about the offense struggles and everything like that. But even if they do struggle, they're still, I mean, they've had a chance at every single game. And I could see, I don't think they're ever going to get blown out by anybody.
They might at some point. But again, it's all big picture when you're talking about, really, when you're talking about the Ravens and the Chiefs. I think there's more pressure on the Ravens to be a 1-seed type team this year than the Chiefs. I think people that are real with it are just like, the Chiefs just kind of have to get there, right? The Ravens are a team where if the Ravens aren't winning their division or doing anything like that, you're like, man, that's pretty disappointing. Look at the Ravens division. Joe Burrow's not in it. Steelers offense does not look good. The Browns are really good on one side of the ball. If the Ravens don't win that division this year without Joe Burrow in it, that is a massive disappointment. If the Chiefs don't win the division this year, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they were going to win it anyway, right?
True.
Especially when you saw the Rice suspension. Like, okay, that's fine, right? Like, it's not that big a deal. We didn't, like, they were threatened more to lose it the second Joe Burrow got hurt. The Bengals were a threat to win the North. We didn't know if the Steelers were. Certainly doesn't look like they will be. Now, that division looks like the Ravens easily. So I think 1-3 is not that big a deal for the Ravens. Back to the original question. I don't think it matters that much because I think at the end of the year, if they start 1-3, they'll still be, 12-5, 11-6. The Chiefs start 1-3, which we've always known was a possibility. They'll have a much tougher hill to climb. And so I would still say the pressure is on Kansas City this weekend, even though it got added to by Baltimore blowing that one yesterday. They didn't blow it. Why do I keep saying that? They did not. Detroit imposed their will on that game. Detroit absolutely went to Baltimore and won that game. Good for Dan Campbell. What coordinators. He is still a great coach, and they did exactly what they wanted to do on the road against that team. Detroit looks like a force, and I feel good now again about sending him to the Super Bowl in my picks because that first week I did not. Now you feel good a little bit. But it's going to be great. This game of the week. It's going to be an awesome game. It is going to be dramatic and intense and emotional and stressful. And that's what's great about the NFL. It's week 4 and we get that kind of game.
No, there's going to be some crazy things that are going to happen just because of these two teams matching up. The fact that it's in Arrowhead is going to add an extra layer to the Kansas City Chiefs. So the fact that this is a home game, the 3 o'clock window on KWCH, even throw that in there. It's going to be an awesome matchup.
It will be fantastic and we cannot wait for it. It's the NFL, man. It never doesn't give us what we need. It doesn't. We'll be previewing the college football week. We'll do that in the next hour. TJ, one of the other big headlines yesterday, I think it's happened kind of right after we went off the air. Bruce Pearl retires. Bruce Pearl has been moderately polarizing over the course of his career in college basketball. Certainly a character, but it's hard to argue with the success that he's had as a college basketball coach. He may be doing this. I've read a little bit for politics. Is he trying to go be a politician or something? But he's been at Auburn.
He's been kind of like a political commentary guy for the last couple of years. Like, he'll do appearances on shows and everything. So it may be a little bit of that as well, of trying to get more into that world.
Yeah, I don't pay a lot of attention to that, so I've missed it. It doesn't really matter. As a basketball coach, he's had his moments. And he's been good everywhere he's been. He's been investigated by the NCAA, as a lot of these guys have. Just you look at it, and it's been a mountain of success. He went to the NCAA tournament every year at Tennessee. He's been to a lot of Sweet 16s. He had a lot of success even before he really took over. And then at Auburn, he kind of comes back after a few years off. It takes a minute, and then they've just really gone and gone nuts. They've been to 2 Final Fours over that time. Where does he sit for you? I think he's been wildly successful. I see him put in the category of some of the other guys that have retired recently, and I don't think he's quite there, but he's certainly been very good, and now those 2 Final Four appearances have been the icing on his cake. But I mean, I'm not sure I'm putting him up in some of the pantheons of others that have retired. I think we maybe are overdoing that just a touch.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, he's in like the upper echelon of coaches in the 21st century, I think. Would you say that? I mean, he's not
into the 21st century.
That's true. He might be in the second echelon, I guess, or the bottom of the first one of the last decade. Maybe we can say that's probably fair. So, but anyway, I mean, it's a huge loss for Auburn to lose him. He's one of the best coaches in the game right now, just from what he's done the past couple of years of navigating the transfer portal and NIL. He's been really good at getting guys to his program. I mean, that team that went to the Final Four last year, I mean, that was nearly an all transfer team. So that shows you how well he is at getting, you know, Janiah Broom came from Morehead State and things of that nature. Chad Baker Mazzaro is a guy that's been bouncing around college basketball, how big of an impact he made at Auburn last year. So it's going to be a interesting transition for Auburn. You know, his son's taken over, who's been the associate head coach for a couple of years, and basically just an immediate promotion, signed into a 5-year deal. I think that's kind of the part that interests me the most, is that it is a program like Auburn, you know, having somebody in the waiting. You know, is that the right move to make, or is it something to where a national search could have been conducted and maybe found somebody that could make that jump up to the Power Five level? You know, I guess that's my question. Is it a good move to promote from within at Auburn?
I don't know. I don't know anything about his son, to be perfectly honest and fair.
Well, I mean, just promoting within, whether he's a son or not, just promoting within. Is that the right move to make right now?
Is he the best for the job? That becomes the question for me. And I don't know the answer to that. If they think he's the best for the job, then sure does. Nepotism, like maybe he was an assistant coach there. I think if Kelvin Sampson retired, his son would likely take over, right? True. There have been people that thought that was the case for a long time. I think it happens. They were, I'm just trying to kind of get a feel for what they're expected this year. And they're generally looked at in all the early top 25s as like a top 15 type team. But
they've
then
lost
they're,
a lot.
Their projected starting lineup, right, has only Pettiford back. Everybody else in their projected starting lineup is a transfer in. So what does that mean? It means who the hell knows what they're going to be next year.
Basically.
You know, next year may be the end of the absolute chaos of the portal, but next year is still going to include it. So I would say without Bruce Pearl there, that is a big blow for Auburn. His son, great, but we just don't know, right? If Bruce Pearl's there, you're kind of like, okay, they'll be fine, right?
Well, if I'm not misunderstanding, he's like immediately retired. He's not retiring after the season, I don't think.
Yeah, he's out. But what I'm saying. Like, if he was the coach of a team with so many questions, he'd be like, yeah, okay, they'll probably be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Now with a new coach, whether it's his son or anybody else, it's like, I don't know. Like, are they going to be any good? College basketball, look, it's never been harder to predict college sports, ever. Ever, yeah. Ever, ever. And I think that will stop after this year. But we're still in it right now. Like, who knows what's going to happen with any of these teams? They all have so many new players. So a lot of the time, especially in college basketball, when you have that kind of turnover, you lean into the coaches at that point, right? You're like, yeah, but that guy's their coach. They'll be fine. Right? We do that with Kansas. Kansas will be fine. Bill Self's their coach. And it's true. They will be fine because Bill Self's their coach. So now losing one of those coaches we generally feel that way about is going to be pretty interesting for the sport. Is Auburn still going to be able to be that good? I don't know. We've never seen, is it Stephen Pearl?
Yep.
Taking over. But we've never really seen him have a chance to do it. Maybe they'll be great. Maybe he's awesome. I don't know.
No clue. The part that interests me the most about this, obviously, whenever coaches retire around here, you know, obviously relates to Bill Self and whenever that's going to come, because it's going to come sooner rather than later, especially with everything that's been going on health-wise, everything like that. And, you know, obviously Auburn and Kansas are completely different programs, but to see a team that was just in the Final Four promote within to an assistant coach, I mean, is that something that we could see KU doing? You know, people talk about Jock Vaughn. That's the reason they brought him into the staff, so that can be him whenever Bill Self retires. But
some people, I mean, say it, that. I don't say that.
I mean, if you're KU, you can get literally anybody that you want, basically, outside of like 10 guys. So it's like, I don't know if that's the right move for KU. I think that you look around and see who you can bring into this thing. And if the answer is nobody, then yeah, you get the guy that's coached in the NBA before.
Hang on. First, I don't think Bill Self's retiring anytime soon.
I mean, second, it's going to be relatively soon.
He's younger than everybody thinks he is. How, don't you look this up. How old do you think Bill Self is?
61.
62. He's not even retirement age yet. Like, Bill Self's going to coach as long as he wants to.
Hey, and he's got his papers. He's done.
He seems to love this gig. He's going to coach for as long as he wants to. So that's the first thing I'll say. I am so ready for Bill Self to be able to reset this roster. Can I tell you that? Like, of all the storylines we follow, when the calendar turns to like the start of football season, that's kind of the reset, right, of our sports calendar. And I can't tell you how excited I am for him to not have the same group of players that we're not working that he's had for, 3 years now.
I know.
Like, I cannot wait for a reset for him. Because he had a difficult task in making a roster that was very talented fit together that was just not going to fit. So I am so excited for that because I get the health concerns. Those are his concerns and his concerns only. He'll decide how concerning his health concerns are. Other than that, he's wildly successful. He's not nearly as old as some of these guys are. And so, like, I don't know why we always – I suppose it's because of the health. I think the other reason, though, TJ, that it gets talked about is because we see these other guys retiring. I think that's why people look at that with Bill Self and they're like, oh, well – Bruce Pearl was 3 years older than Bill Self, right? Like, it's what I'm saying is, like, he's not as old as people. He's not like Mike Krzyzewski. He's not like Roy Williams. And he's 62.
I mean, made your point that Bruce Pearl was only 3 years older and he retired.
Bruce Pearl apparently wants to go be a politician. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, these other guys are getting out for whatever reason they're choosing to get out, whether they don't like the transfer portal, whether they don't like the new Bill Self seems to embrace all of this. Have you ever what tells you Bill Self doesn't like the transfer portal or NIL or any of this? Gotten that indication from him?
No, he said out loud that he loves it.
So I don't understand outside of health, which again is his concern to have. I don't understand why everybody wants to paint that broad brush and put him in it. He's not that old. He's not even close to the oldest coach in the Big 12, I don't think. So, like, either way.
Relatively, like, it's going to be within the decade. Like, he's not going to coach into his 70s.
10 years, yes. I think that's probably right. Yeah.
Look, I cannot imagine a world where Bill Self is 70 and coaching in Allen Fieldhouse.
Again, I don't know why everybody says that. And I know he's hinted that he doesn't want to do it forever, but he loves it. He loves it. And he's good
that's
at
8 years away. That's basically a decade.
I know. That's a long time. That's not like it's impending. So Jacques Vaughn's not going to be an assistant coach for 8 more years, is my point. And they're going to go do a national search like they did with Bill Self. Back to Bruce Pearl. Auburn isn't much without him. He is by far, until you go back to the 1940s, their biggest and most winning coach. If you're an Auburn fan today, I can't believe Bruce Pearl has been there for 10 years. If you're an Auburn fan, you're devastated by this because you've never really been good without Bruce Pearl. And that's probably as much as anything why Bruce Pearl had all the leverage here to get his son that job, right? They don't know winning basketball outside of Bruce Pearl. So Bruce Pearl can simply say, you're going to go find somebody better than the only thing that you've seen success with? Hire my son. And I'm going to step away. And if, you know, I think he used some leverage there. It's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I would do it too if it were my kid. So we'll find out pretty quick, though, if Stephen Pearl can coach. But if you're an Auburn fan, man, you're devastated by this. Because he's the only guy that's ever really won there in basketball. And I don't think it becomes one of those questions. Were they successful because of Bruce Pearl or because of the program? And it's not a question. They were successful because of Bruce Pearl.
Correct. Yeah. I think that the fact of that makes it even tenfold is the fact of the SEC is becoming the new Big 12 of college basketball as well. And like all the pressure that's going to be put on that conference. I mean, you're a guy who has, correct me. I don't know anything about Stephen Pearl's resume, but I don't think he's ever been a head coach. So it's like,
no, he hasn't. He has not done anything besides stand next to his dad. In 2017, he became an Auburn assistant. In 2023, he became the Auburn associate head coach. And now he's the head coach. He's 38 years old. He's younger than I am. I think, and again, I don't have a problem with them promoting him. The Bruce Pearl regime is the only one that's ever really been successful in modern times for Auburn. So promoting from within of the only ones that have ever been successful does make sense to me.
It does.
And we have no insight into the inner workings of that program. None. Zilch. He may be the reason they're getting all these good players. That kind of thing happens all the time. We know that. So I have no problem with it. I just know that if I'm a fan, I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. Bruce Pearl is the reason they've been relevant. And he's not there anymore. All right, when we come back, we'll take you around some of the other headlines. A lot of injury news in the NFL to get caught up on. As we watch the practice reports this week begin tomorrow. And we'll get you ready for the college football weekend. It's all coming for you on a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.